please take a seat. I'm a little hard to follow this morning. I'm getting around a little bit here up front, but it's good to be with you this morning once again to encourage one another through God's Word. So I invite you now, if you will, to take a Bible and open with me to the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John in the New Testament. We are continuing in these weeks of summer to listen in on this rather extended conversation that Christ is having with his disciples there in the upper room, literally hours before he goes to the cross. So very tumultuous times lying directly ahead for these men. And Jesus, in his kindness, is seeking to prepare them for his impending departure. He is instructing them. He's encouraging them. He is comforting them. He is promising that he will go right on providing, as he has been providing, everything literally they will need for their lives and for their ministry, even though he will, in very short order, not be with them anymore in a physical way. So this morning in our text, we come to a promise of something rather new altogether. Jesus is promising his people, the disciples, and by extension to us, that after he goes away, the Father will send someone to be with us, whose presence and ministry, if it were possible, and it is, will take the grace of God in our lives to a whole new level altogether. So what's the promise that we find here, and who is this person that Jesus is speaking of? Let's let him tell us himself. So give our attention to the Word now. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Jesus speaking here says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Grass withers, flower fades. Word of our God abides forever. So, Father in heaven, we give you thanks this morning for this portion of your word. We come to this text, Lord, with open minds and open hearts, and we do ask for the help of your Holy Spirit in the moments ahead that we might truly understand these things, see something and taste something of the wonder of this, and rightly apply it all in our lives. And now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. "I will ask the Father," Christ says, "and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." It's a great promise that Jesus is making here to these disciples, and by extension to his church that would succeed him, succeed them down through the generations, and even fall upon us today, this great promise that though he himself is going away in God's place, God is going to send his Holy Spirit to be the helper that we need. Now, of course, when Jesus is speaking these words there in the upper room, the promise is just that at this point. They're a promise for the future. This hasn't happened yet, but as we know, the gospel story, he will go from that upper room to die upon the cross for our sins. He will be raised in victory over death. He will ascend back to the Father in heaven, and soon afterward, God is going to fulfill that promise on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when he pours out his Spirit upon the church in a whole new way, and the Spirit's presence and ministry has been a glorious and life-changing game changer for God's people ever since. The Lord in His wisdom knew we would need this other helper, and it was His plan and intention to grant the Spirit to us all along. And so today what we're going to do, since this is a rather new topic, at least in the upper room, what we're going to do is see what Christ has to say about this helper to get a clearer understanding of who He is, what He has been sent to do for us, and hopefully in the process develop a keener awareness and consciousness of the presence of God's Holy Spirit so that we can get all the good out of this great gift that has been promised to us by the Lord. As you see from the sermon notes this morning, we're going to tackle this subject by posing two basic questions. For some of you, this will be old hat, I'm sure. For others, perhaps this will be something new, but we can always stand to be sitting under the Word of God to be reminded of these things that are so vital and essential for our faith. And so we're going to ask first, just what kind of helper is this Holy Spirit that Christ is speaking about here? I think the key to understanding what He means is that word another in verse 16, where He promises that the Father is going to give us another helper, speaking of the Spirit of truth, not another of a different kind, but rather Jesus is talking about another helper of the same kind. That's actually very huge. That's actually very important. In English, we only have one word to express this idea of anotherness. I got to get just for a minute or two a little grammatical with you, so just bear with me. I think you'll get a blessing from this. We only have one word to express this idea of anotherness, but the language of the New Testament, the Greek New Testament, has actually two words. One of these words is used to express the idea of another of a different kind, and the other one is used to express the idea of another of the same kind. Different kind of another, same kind of another. Now, if Edna were to come home one day and announce to me that she had traded in her Highlander for another vehicle, I wouldn't know immediately what she meant by that. If she traded her Highlander for another Highlander, that would be another vehicle of the same kind, right? Greek word is allos. But if she got carried away by that shiny new F-150, that would be funny, by the way. In fact, I'd be in shock. But if she did, let's just roll with me here. If she traded her Highlander for an F-150, that would not be another in the allos sense. That would be another in the heteros sense. Another of a different kind, right? Now, when Jesus promises us another helper here, He is speaking of an allos kind of helper, one who is essentially the same kind of helper that He has been for His disciples up until this point, one who is cut from the same cloth, as it were, and who's just like Christ Himself. And you know, that casts such a bright light of understanding on this gift that Jesus is promising us and has now been given to us by the Father from on high. It tells us that like Christ, several things here. The first, as you see, is that like Christ, the Spirit is personal. Now, this is basic truth. We alluded to it, I think, in the Confession of Faith a moment ago. But I'm not taking anything for granted here, because oftentimes it seems like in our culture, and even sometimes in the church, the Holy Spirit is spoken of almost like an impersonal force, like an inanimate object, maybe something out of Star Wars or some other sci-fi kind of situation. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not an influence. He's not a force, although he is mighty. Make no mistake about that. The Holy Spirit, dear friends, is a person. The Spirit is a he. He is a living person who speaks and acts. He is one with whom we live in fellowship and communion. He is one with whom we are called to walk and to keep in step with, although it is possible for us to quench him, to grieve him, or even to resist him, as we see people doing at times in Scripture and even in real life. How strange and unsatisfying it would have been if Jesus, when he went away, had sent a robot in his place to be our helper. But as it is in his kindness, he has given us a helper and a companion who is an allos kind of helper. He is a person, just like Jesus Christ. Like Christ, the Spirit is divine. There's another thing that is hugely important here. A human person in place of Jesus as a helper, I think, would probably be an improvement over a robot. And yet human beings, after all, are mortal, and all too soon they pass away. But the helper that Jesus promises us here, notice, is one who will be with us forever. And obviously no son of Adam or daughter of Eve could ever possibly fill that bill. Well, an angel, perhaps. As a helper, that would probably be somewhat of an improvement over a person. An angel would be immortal, at least he would have that going for him. And yet, even the most exalted member of the heavenly host is still a mere creature who owes his very existence, moment by moment, to the Christ who made him and all things in the beginning, just as he made all of us. And so even an angel or a whole platoon of them could never be another helper for us, like the Son of God. The conclusion then must be this, that the only one possessed of the same divinity as Jesus could possibly fulfill this wonderful promise that he makes to us here. No one less, no one else than God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the same in substance, equal in power and glory with both the Father and the Son. The Spirit is a person. The Spirit is divine, just like Jesus is. And like Christ, the Spirit is also present. This is where it really gets good. It almost defies our ability to grasp it, and certainly to articulate it. Because the Spirit, notice, is not just with us forever, though that in itself is marvelous grace. But Jesus promises us in verse 17 that he will also be in us. That God himself, in the person of his Holy Spirit, has taken up his residence in your life. If you're a believer in Christ, he inhabits us individually, and he also inhabits us as a church. Not just First Pres Pooler, but the body of Christ spread across the world, all through space and time. We are a haunted house, if I can just put it that way, by the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And so the essence of Christianity, when it comes right down to it, it's not a body of doctrine, dear friends. As important as that is, it's not primarily a way of life, although that too is important. And yet the heart and soul of Christianity, true Christianity, as the old believers said often and truly, is nothing less than this: the life of God in the soul of man. Do you have the life of God in you today? Through faith in Jesus Christ and through the reception of the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who believe. It makes all the difference one way or another if you do or if you don't. God himself inhabiting his people individually, George and Mike and Stella and Sarah and Sue, but as I mentioned, also inhabiting his entire church, bringing all that he is to dwell within us, never to leave us or forsake us, just as surely as the presence of God Almighty inhabited the temple and the tabernacle of old. Allos, Jesus said. That's the kind of helper that we have in the Holy Spirit. One who is just like Jesus, in that he's personal and he's present and he's divine. Hope that's an encouragement to you in your faith this morning, as it certainly is to me and my faith as well. Well, let's ask that second question. What kind of help does the Holy Spirit give us, and what kind of assistance does he render? Not just one kind of help, but many different kinds, and that's suggested by the very title that Jesus gives him here. The word that Jesus uses in the ESV is translated by helper, right? You see that? The actual word is paraclete, compound word, which expresses the idea of one who is called alongside of another. Para means alongside of, and kaleoclete is the call. So the Spirit as helper is one who is called alongside us, Jesus says. Well, called alongside to do what? The interesting thing about the term is that it doesn't actually spell it out specifically, does it? Not because the Lord is beating around the bush or being intentionally vague here, but because the Spirit's help to us is so wonderfully diverse and so multifaceted that it's impossible to sum it up or capture it all in a single word or title. That's why the English versions, if you check them pretty clearly, don't have any idea really what to do with this word. You'll find him called, depending upon the version you're reading, our comforter, our teacher, our advocate, our counselor, our helper, our guide, and even our friend. Which is it? The answer is yes. The answer is that he is all of these things. And all of these individual words that the translators use to try to capture what it is he does for us, they are all helpful. And yet no single word taken by itself can ever hope to completely describe who the Spirit is for us. He's like a multifaceted diamond, as you've got to turn first this way and that way in the light so that you can see the full beauty of what it is. And so just as a lifetime is too short to fully know and understand Jesus our Savior, the same is true when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit and his work. We'd be here till 3 o'clock probably if we just kind of lined it all out. We're not going to do that, so you can relax. We've got to start somewhere though. And I want to mention four ways the Spirit helps us. And in weeks ahead, we probably will come back to this theme from time to time. Four things he does, four ways he helps us. First of all, is the truth teller. The Spirit instructs our minds and our faith. Verse 17, Christ calls him the Spirit of truth. That's very significant. One who is faithful, one who tells it like it is. One whom you can trust when he promises something. One you can also trust if he warns you about something. He is a truth teller always. Verse 26 of the same chapter, Jesus elaborates on that a bit and says, speaking of the Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. mean, their bells are rung here. That's a lot to take on board. Imagine if you're in that meeting. What did he say? Did I get that right? Don't worry, says Jesus. The Spirit will bring it all back to you when he comes. Over in chapter 16, Jesus will say, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Even Jesus, the Son of God, when he was among us, didn't give us the whole story. There were things that he left unsaid because, as he put it, sits there, you can't bear this now. Too much for you. Don't worry, when the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And even at the end of the scriptures in the book of Revelation, do you remember what it says? The Spirit is showing us the things that must soon take place. He is the truth teller, so that just as Jesus taught his disciples face to face in the days of his flesh, so the Spirit is now the teacher in residence for believers and for the church, first inspiring the apostles to write the New Testament, and then giving us the illumination we need, the enlightenment of our minds to understand the things that have been written apart from that light. We'd be stumbling around in the dark, but we have the Holy Spirit to teach us inwardly. Jesus says, next, as living water, the Holy Spirit refreshes our souls. This is not the first mention of the Spirit in John's Gospel. Jesus speaks of him in chapter 7. He's at one of the three great feasts of the Jews at that point in Jerusalem, the Feast of Tabernacles. And the scripture tells us in John 7 that on the last great day of the feast, it's a day where there was a lot of water apparently involved. They were in the wilderness, remember? And God gave them water from the rock and just took care of them that way. They needed a supply of water. And so at the Feast of Tabernacles, and particularly the last day, the historians tell us the Jews would celebrate that by just pouring out water all over Jerusalem in commemoration of what God had given them in those days. And Jesus stands up in the midst of that and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Not water from the rock, but water from the rock of ages that is mediated to us and is now living in us by the Holy Spirit of God. That's who Jesus is talking about. John goes on to say that this he said, Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Well, now he's glorified, right? He's been to that cross. He's been raised from death. He's returned to the Father. He has asked the Father to send the Paraclete. And the Paraclete has come as that living water, that source of life and sustenance and refreshment in our hearts, no matter what is happening in our circumstances. Even if we've been in the hospital for a long time, even if a little girl dies, I don't minimize the pain. My heart is broken, I'm going to tell y'all. But there's a supply. There's a supply of living water that does not depend on our outward circumstances. The Holy Spirit of God, who has been given to the church and dwells within. Ask him for that water if you're not feeling it today. To pour out that life and that refreshment upon your weary soul. I'm going to pull an audible and move down to the fourth bullet in our notes here at this point. Come back to police up number 3 in a moment. But you'll see in the fourth place there, the Spirit is our sanctifier. That's another one of his titles, in which role he transforms our lives and makes us more like Jesus. In this role, he grows us in Christ-likeness. He gradually brings our thoughts, our words, our habits, and our attitudes more and more in line with who Jesus is. When we first become a Christian, we are not housebroken, are we? We are still the same people in many ways that we were. We are totally forgiven. What a great gift. But God has got far more for you than that. He's going to set you free not only from the guilt of sin, as Jesus has done already on the cross, but he is going to set you free from the power of sin in every nook and cranny of your life. And this is the work, my friends, of the Holy Spirit of God. We all, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. How does that happen? Well, I can't fully explain it to you, but Paul does go on to say that this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is your sanctifier. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never going to stop working. And there will be days of your life, just like there are in mine, that you wish the Holy Spirit didn't have such a high calling on your life. But he's like a personal trainer. Not for your body, but for your soul. And you will have, and so will I, all eternity to praise him for this work of sanctification, where we at last will be clothed and in our right minds, y'all, for the very first time, as we enter the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. He is your sanctifier. And then finally, jumping back to number 3, he's a witness, Jesus says. He will testify of me. That's great. And you also will bear witness. What? Did I hear you right, Lord? Yes. He, the Holy Spirit, will bear witness of me, and you also will bear witness. Can we do this on our own? No, we cannot do this on our own. Good news is we do not have to do this on our own, because it's the Spirit as the witness who empowers our ministry of the gospel to those who do not know the Lord. Verse 15, he will testify of me. Actually, verse 26, sorry. He will testify of me. Jesus says, and so here's how it works, best as I can conceive of it. As we step out in faith to show the love of Christ to people, and as we tell people about the saving love of Jesus, it feels weird a lot of the time, but we do not do this under our own steam, or we do not do it alone. The Holy Spirit empowers that witness, and lives change. No charge for the Spurgeon illustration, but he was at the Metropolitan Tabernacle one day just kind of testing out the acoustics. I think they had been some remodeling or whatever, obviously long before microphones and such. But he stood at the pulpit and said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from every sin." And somewhere in the back, a guy who was hunched down in a pew working on a pipe or something heard that and was converted on the spot. The Holy Spirit. He's the witness who empowers our witness to others. And when the Spirit works, y'all, he does so with a power that is gentle enough to heal the broken and the wounded and the forgotten and the least. And yet he bears witness with a power that is mighty enough to penetrate even the hardest heart of the most lost person you've ever met, like heaven's own bunker-busting bomb sent not to destroy, but save. open blind eyes and deaf ears, so that even the dead are raised to life. That's where I was one time. Anybody with me? Dead in our sins? Somebody told us? If one person has told you, and you have responded, at least two people have told you. And the one that really counts is Jesus. The one who opens blind eyes and unstops deaf ears and changes hard hearts to behold the wondrous mystery that we talked about and sang about just a little earlier. When that light comes on, there is no holding you back from eternal salvation in Jesus our Lord. So, we're done here basically, but what shall we say? And how should we respond in the light of these things? Surely I would recommend for myself and for you that we consciously seek to develop a deeper awareness of the Holy Spirit and His presence in our lives and learn to depend more and more on Him. So let's do that. Let's realize what we've been given and take full advantage of it. But also awe and gratitude and worship for the Spirit of Jesus. Praise, first of all, to Jesus, that He asked the Father to send us this other helper when He went away. Praise to the Father Himself for graciously hearing that request. And praise to the Holy Spirit for sure, for His indwelling presence, and for all the constant help and assistance that He gives us. Praise that He hears us as the living breath of God as we sing to Him now. And ask Him to breathe new life. Keep it coming, Lord, into our willing souls. So let's stand together now. Sing this song as a prayer to God the Holy Spirit, given unto us.